Good morning.
Good morning.
Wait. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning again. Is that microphone working?
No.
No?
Can you hear it?
Not
sure. Some say yes, some say no.
Some say yes, some say no. How about that? Okay. Well, as you can see, the video is not working this morning. I don't know why, but we'll give up on that. So we're just going to use your notes. If you have your...
There's a toggle switch. I know we had a group in here Friday night that was using this video equipment.
If you know how to get it going, go for it.
Yeah, I just know the kids were in here watching a movie Friday.
Okay, somebody's got something set somewhere.
If you can get it to work, what's that going to do to Mark's pay?
Well, I don't know. He's going to get executive leave, I guess. Well, if you would take your Bibles, please, and turn to Daniel chapter 12. We're going to be finishing up the book of Daniel, and I don't know how many of you saw this. This was on the main page of one of the news sites. I just copied it off. I'll read it to you. It's biblical prophecy claims the world will end on September 23rd. So, I just want you to know you only have 6 days. Can't hear me again? No, it's working. Try it again. I don't know where there are any switches nowadays. Still no signal input. Okay, is that working?
Yes.
Okay, well, for some reason or other, every week we have to keep turning the volume up and up and up. Anyhow, this says... Revelation 12, 1 through 2 is supposed to be the start of the rapture and the second coming of Christ, etc., etc. So these things are almost nonstop. You get one of these periodically that the world is going to end and we can prove it. And I just want to address this. We're going to address this, Lord willing, next week. We're going to talk about the scriptural admonition that we have to study prophecy, and we're going to use some of these things as fodder for that study. So we're going to do one last study next week. It won't be specifically on Daniel, but rather on prophecy in general. Okay, with that said, would you take your study sheets and look at the top, which has the scripture Daniel 12 verses 8 through 13, and I'd like to have somebody, if they would, volunteer to read that. Daniel 12, 8 through 13. Can't get it.
Toggle switch, yeah.
Yep. Me neither. Okay. Jeannie, all right, go for it.
I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days.
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful this morning for you and for your word. And I just pray that you would bless this time as we look into your word. Open our minds and give us understanding, Lord, to the truth of your scriptures, not only this passage, but others that we'll look at. May you be honored and glorified through this time this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, if you look at your study sheets, the first question here, and this is a continuation of the last chapter we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 8, after hearing the angel's revelation, which is from Daniel chapter 11 all the way through Daniel chapter 12, that's kind of a continuing saga there. Remember the angel that was captured and was prevented from getting to Daniel for 3 weeks, and then Michael came and overpowered the opposition and freed the angel. The angel was allowed to come then to talk to Daniel and gave him these words, this revelation. So in Daniel chapter 11 and 12, which we have studied on a verse-by-verse basis, that revelation was given. So after having heard all of that, Daniel has heard all this revelation from the angel, and what are his words? What does he declare after he's heard it all? Look at chapter 12, verse 8.
I don't understand.
I don't understand. Now, you have to remember that for Daniel, Daniel has been the one who has been interpreting all these dreams, you know, all the way through. So Daniel is now in the position where he has been given this revelation, and he has a desire to understand it. He wants to know, what is this all about? That's what he says in verse 8. I could not understand what will be the outcome of these events. He wanted to know the rest of the story. And so if you look at verse 9, what is the reply that the angel gives him?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. I like that. Daniel 9 says, he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Now, we've looked at a lot of these words, most of these phrases that are in verse 9, we've looked at in detail, so we won't go back through that again, but he talks here about these words are sealed up, they are concealed, we talked about that. And how long is it going to be that they are sealed and concealed? Is it forever?
No,
how long? Until the time of the end. And we know what the time of the end is. He has talked about this over and over again through the book of Daniel, and so we'll kind of delve into that again in a minute. Now, as he moves on, I want you to turn to Revelation 22, because there's another error that is pretty common in Christendom today that I just want to address here in passing. We've said continuously through our study in Daniel that Daniel, when you study the book of Daniel, you need to have Daniel open on one side of your desk and the book of the Revelation open on the other side, because the two interpret one another. And you can't understand either one totally without understanding the other. But when you get to the end of the book of the Revelation, when you get to Revelation chapter 22, if you drop down to verse 18, you'll notice that the Lord is speaking to Daniel here. And what he tells, he's not speaking to Daniel. He's speaking to John, the Apostle John, in the book of the Revelation. And in verse 18, he says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone does what?
Adds
to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in the book. So what does that say to you?
Don't add or subtract.
Don't mess with it. It's done. It's done, folks. When the last words of the book of the Revelation were penned by the Apostle John on the island of Patmos in A.D. 90, it's done. God has given us everything that he is going to give us. Everybody got that? He's given us everything he is going to give us. There are no new revelations coming. So just mark it down. If somebody says, I have a new revelation, you can mark it down as what?
False.
It's false. It's not true. And by the way, if somebody comes and says, Jesus is coming on this date, what do you do with that? You mark it down as
false,
because Jesus said, no man knows the hour when the Son of Man comes. I don't even know it. Jesus said when he was here on earth, he didn't even know it himself. It was totally in the Father's will. So anyone who comes in and says, the end is coming on September 23rd, is what? They're lying. They're lying. And we could talk about whether they're lying intentionally or whether they're deceived. I don't plan or intend to make a judgment on that. That's something between that person and the Lord. But I can tell you, for us, we know that it's a lie. So, the words are shut up and sealed, and that means they're preserved and unexplained until the end. And we know that the end is at the end of that tribulation period, which is 7 years, and particularly the last half of the 7 years, the last 3.5 years. We've talked about that in detail several times. So let's take a look at the next question. And according to the first part of verse 10, Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, what is the future for the many? That's the way Daniel references it here. What is their future? Many will be purged, purified, and refined. So that's kind of a tripart definition there. They're going to be purged, purified, and refined. Other verses, particularly in the book of the Revelation, say they are going to they're going to be cleansed and they're going to put on white robes. They're going to be purged, cleansed, and refined. So that is the fate of the righteous. That is the fate of those who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. So during this last period of time, actually extending all the way from Daniel's time all the way up through the end of the book of the Revelation, that is going to be what happens to the pure, the righteous. We in this country, I hope you understand that we here in the United States, we are blessed. We are just incredibly blessed. Around this world, we are the exception. And I if you look at the news and the way things are going, you just have to understand just how exceptional it is that we can meet here this morning free. We can meet uninhibited and without fear of our lives. That is something that is very rare throughout this earth, and it's been very rare throughout the whole period of time. You and I live in a blessed time, and for those who have to whom much is given, much is required. Much is required. So you and I have a great responsibility to invest what he has given to us and to share that with others and to obey him. So for the many, many are going to purify and make themselves white and be refined, and they do understand. So many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will, what? Will understand. Now, it's interesting to me that he says those who are wise, those who have insight, will understand, and Daniel had just stood there and said, Lord, I don't what? I don't understand. So what does that kind of tell us here? When Daniel says, I don't understand, and the scripture says, toward the end, they will understand, what does that tell you? There's more coming, right? There's more coming. Between what Daniel wrote and and the end of the book of the Revelation in chapter 22, there is more revelation to be given because we are going to understand. And let's take a look at the second half of verse 10. What about the wicked unsaved? Do they understand?
No.
They do not understand. They do not understand. Verse 10, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. I was thinking about this whole thing of sealing up and understanding and all that kind of stuff, and it just popped into my mind that I had an interesting document in my file. Doesn't this look official? You can see this? Isn't that neat? This is right here on the front. This is to certify that the annexed is a true copy from the records of the Office of Patents. This is issued by the United States Patent Office, and it has its seal on it, and it is sealed. Everybody got it? It is sealed, and it is a copy. Remember in Jeremiah where they made two, they put the original and a copy, and they put it in a clay jar. They sealed it for the future. What the patent office has done is what we do today. They put their seal on it. That's their official signature. They put their seal on it. They issued a copy. Anybody in the world can get this copy. And they have archived it. You know, you can go to the patent office and obtain patents all the way back to early 1900 when the patent office started. They're all still there. They're in a clay pot.
Okay, well, going back to 18, verse 18 and 19, when it says anybody taking away or adding to, that your portion in the tree, your share in the tree of life and in the holy city will be taken away. Does that mean that we're never saved to begin with, since we can't lose our salvation? I mean, is that a way you can judge somebody?
I'm not going to go there. I don't know exactly what that means. People have debated on that for a long time. The general opinion is that genuine believers will not violate that. So, but other than that, I'm not going to go there. So this is like the modern day equivalent, and I'm not saying this is scripture. Believe me, this is not scripture. I'm just saying that this is similar. This is our legal approach today to sealing a document. This is sealed. Now, does that mean it's hidden?
No,
it's published. Everybody can have it. Well, now let's kind of go into this a little bit. I'm going to just read one of these paragraphs, and I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Reading the abstract or what's claimed?
You be quiet. See, he's probably one here that actually knows what this is about, and I want you to be quiet. Okay, here it is. This is about a leading current circuit for a voltage regulator comprising, in combination, a transformer having a secondary winding with first and second taps and an intermediate third tap, first and second semiconductor controlled rectifiers connected in parallel, opposition as a first pair of rectifiers, and a third and fourth semiconductor controlled rectifiers connected in parallel, opposition as a second pair of rectifiers, and a first terminal. And this goes on and on and on. There are 19 of those paragraphs that are just like that, and they're just wonderful. Without you, how many of you understood that? Come on, did anybody really understand that? Bob did. Okay, my point is this. This is similar to the book of Daniel. I'm not saying this is scripture. Don't misunderstand me in any way, shape, or form. This is similar to it in this sense. This is sealed. It's authorized. It's got its signature on it. It's legitimate. It's archived. And it's stored away until the end time. Most of us in here would say, I can read this, but I don't understand it. If I was going to understand this, I would have to have help. Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
You're going to need some help. Shoot, I invented this thing. I need help. Because this is written by lawyers, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm an engineer. And I understand some of the truths to it, but the nuances of the legalities are beyond me. I need help. When the Word of God is put out, I want you to understand this. This is one of the most amazing things to me about the Word of God. You can take the Word of God and hand it to an unbeliever, and they can read it, and they will walk away having said, what?
I don't understand it.
And folks, I'll guarantee you that's the case. They can understand it. You can have two people side by side, one's a believer and one's not, read the same passage of Scripture, and the believer will say, yes, I'm convicted by that, I understand that, and the unbeliever will say, I haven't got a clue. I don't know what you're talking about. It is just an amazing attribute of the Word of God. The truth is right there. It's in this document. And it's sealed, but it's public. Anybody can read it. But are you going to get anything out of it? You're going to have help. And I'll tell you what, folks. You and I are not going to get anything out of this book without help. And our help is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book. So if you want to have help in understanding the book, you must have the Holy Spirit, because He's the author. He's the one that allows you to understand this. So the patent is just an example of what the angel is saying here. In verse 9, the angel says, Daniel, go your way, for these words are concealed and sealed up until what? Until the end time. And folks, that the end time, that's the book of the Revelation. All of the New Testament scripture is given to help us understand. But I'll tell you what. There are parts of this, even though we understand it infinitely better than Daniel did, we still don't understand it. Let me explain to you. We know from the book of the Revelation that this person who is coming in, it has a name called the Antichrist. Daniel didn't know that. He called him the little horn. That's all he knew. He didn't know Antichrist because he didn't know Christ. Okay? In addition to that, we look at the book of the Revelation and we find out about this Antichrist that he has a name. And the number of his name is what? 666. Did Daniel know that?
No.
Do we know that?
Yes.
When the Jews and the Gentiles are in the last half of the tribulation period. Are they going to know that? Yes, but they're also going to know what? They're going to know what his name is. They're going to know Joe, whatever. They're going to know his real name. Now, we understand everything that God has given us up to this point, but folks, I want you to understand that until the end, these things are hidden. There are still parts of this that we know, 666, but we don't understand, and when it comes to the end, they're going to know. They're going to know what country he comes from. They're going to know who the armies are. They're going to know all this stuff. So, they're going to get not only the author, but they're going to get the reality of history right in front of them. They're going to see it. And there are parts of prophecy that God has said in effect to us now. This is enough for you. You need to understand this. I will tell you that much. But beyond that, it's going to be held until the very end. Everybody with me on that? Because there are so many times that this whole thing about having a document sealed or having scripture sealed is misinterpreted as being that you can't even read it. And that's not true. You can read it. We understand so much more about the book of Daniel because we have the book of the Revelation, which is a commentary, in effect, on the book of Daniel. Well, let's look at these last few verses, Daniel chapter 12, verses 11, 12, and 13. Because now the angel throws us a curveball. Just about the time that we really think we've got a handle on this, the angel throws us a curveball. So if you look at Daniel chapter 12, starting at verse 11, he says, "And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,209... Wait. It's supposed to be 1,260 days, right? But instead, he says it's 1,290 days, an extra 30 days, extra month. And all God's people said, well, maybe he made a mistake. And all the other of God's people said, no. No, he didn't make a mistake. So what's going on here? What's with the 1,290 days? And then, just to really keep us off guard, he says in verse 12, how blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days, which adds another 45 days to the added 30. Month and a half. And all God's people said, I got it. I understand it. By the way, you're not going to find the direct interpretation or whatever to this in the book of the Revelation. You will, however, find some strong clues in the Gospels, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment here. So, the first question on your sheet are, what are the events that the angel declares will begin the 1,290 days? So look at verse 11. And tell me, what is the trigger point for starting the 1,290 days? Okay, it is when the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up. Now, we've talked about that with multiple references as we've gone through the book of the Revelation. Through Daniel and the book of the Revelation. So I put all the scripture references down here on the next point, but it is that point when the sacrifice is taken away, And the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple. That point is identified as the midpoint of the tribulation. And it's identified by that in several ways and in multiple passages in the New Testament. So this point, question on your sheet, this point is elsewhere identified as what time? And that's in Daniel 9:27, Matthew 24:15, Revelation 11:2, 12:6, 14, and 13:5. So if you look at all those verses, and the reason I'm not going to go through those again is because we have, over the last few weeks, we've looked at each one of those individually. But if you look at those passages, that point is defined as the beginning point of the time, times, and half a time. It's also defined as 3.5 years, which is 1 year plus 2 years plus a half a year, 3.5 years. 3.5 years is how many months? 42. How many days? 1,260 days, with 30 days per month, which is the way the Jews operate, because it's on a lunar scale, not on a solar scale, 1,260 days. And at the end of that point, that is when Christ returns and the Antichrist is defeated. It's the end of the Battle of Armageddon. And so that is identified very clearly as the point where the Antichrist sets up this idol in the temple and demands that people worship it or die. And all the rest of that stuff that's in Revelation chapter 12 on begins to unfold. So what might be happening in those extra 30 days? So we know that from the time, from the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation, from the midpoint to the end, 3.5 years, this horrible stuff unfolds. You see the unfolding of the bowls, the Revelation bowl judgments, and at the end, the Antichrist is defeated. But what happens? What is the angel talking about here when he says 1,290 days? What's the extra month about? And then, what's the extra 45 days beyond that? Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to get a clue here. I've searched and searched to see if there are any reliable Bible commentaries and Bible scholars that are willing to stake out an exact definition of which is which. We'll talk about that here as we go along. But in Matthew chapter 25, if you look at starting at verse 31, Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory..." So what point is that on this whole scale? That's at the end of the tribulation. That's at the end of the 1,260 days. Okay, that's when he comes in his glory. "And all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." And notice here in verse 32, "And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" This is the millennial kingdom. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Boy, that's an encouragement for each one of us, right? That's an encouragement for each one. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now that definition or that passage is a description of what we call the sheep and goats judgment, the judgment of the nations. And we know from this passage that on a chronology standpoint, when does it begin? Right before the millennium. It's when the Lord returns in his glory. It's after that 7 years time span. The Lord returns. He defeats Satan. Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. The Antichrist is cast into the lake of fire. And the Lord begins the cleanup, if I can use that word. All of the nations that are left, most of the warriors had come to the Battle of Armageddon. Those are gone. They're destroyed. But there are people around the world that were not in the Battle of Armageddon that basically are going to be judged. And so the Lord is going to bring them to Jerusalem. They're going to be transported to Jerusalem. They're going to stand before the Lord, and he is going to judge them. And he's going to separate them, sheep and goats. And the condemned are going to pass off into eternal judgment. And the righteous go into millennial period. So we know that happens. We know it happens right after the millennial time. So that is one thing that happens. And in general, when you hear that, when it's talking about the nations, that is almost always a reference to Gentiles. Okay? Almost always a reference to Gentiles. Now, I want you to turn back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. And I'll ask somebody to read verses 34 through 38. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. Go ahead, Jerry.
I will bring you out from the people and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I enter into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge you from the rebels and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord.
So this is a judgment. This is the final judgment of the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel, of course, right now, today, is scattered over the face of the earth. They have been scattered there because of the judgment, because they rejected the Lord, because they have rejected Christ as their Messiah. And the Lord says, as we read in Ezekiel about the dry bones are going to come together, and Israel is going to come back together. They're going to come back into the land. The Lord is going to gather them there. And in this particular case, in Ezekiel chapter 20, there's going to be a distinct judgment for the nation of Israel. And that is going to take some period of time. The rebels are going to be weeded out of the nation of Israel, and the righteous are going to pass on into the millennial kingdom. Now, whether This is the part that is unclear. At least it's unclear to me, and I haven't found anybody that gave a sound biblical rationale that I could find about which is which. We don't know what the timing is between the judgment of the nations and the judgment of Israel, whether they overlap or whether one is the first 45 days and the other is 30 days after that, or 30 days and then 40. Don't know exactly what the situation is there. You can put your own take on that. My take is, if I look at Daniel chapter 12, it says, "Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days." Now, this is written by Daniel, who is a Jew, and it's written to the Jews. And my guess is, this is my personal opinion, my guess is the 1,335 days is written as a blessing to Israel. And so that's probably a marker that says that's the end of the judgment of Israel. Okay? There are other people that have different opinions on that. It's not clear to me that there's a verse that would define it. But that's not the point. The point is there's a 30-day period and a 45-day period that is involved with the actual judging of the nations and the nation of Israel and the purging out of all unbelievers. So at the time where you enter into the millennium, there is not one unbeliever on the face of this earth. Everybody got that? Because all the nations have been judged and every unbeliever is taken out. All the nation of Israel has been judged and every unbeliever is taken out. And there's nobody left besides Jew and Gentile. I mean, that's us. So at the end of this judgment, 100% of the population of the earth, which is not very much, is going to be saved. They're all living in bodies just like you and I are. They enter into the millennial kingdom, and they marry, they have children, and their children have children, and their children have children and children, and the earth's population explodes. But during that time, people are just as sinful as they are now. Their children are not saved just because they're born of parents that are saved. You understand that? It's just like it is today. You don't get saved because your parents are saved. You're not saved because mom and dad went to this church. You're not saved because you're a member of this church. You're not saved because of any of that stuff. You are saved only by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. That is the only way. And it's not only true today, it is going to be true during the millennial kingdom as well. Well, verse 13 kind of wraps it up for Daniel. The angel says, "I've told you everything I'm going to tell you. You go your way till the end. You're going to rest," and that means he's going to die. You're going to die, and you will ultimately stand in your allotted place at the end of days. End of Daniel. Now, next week, we are going to look at a passage that I haven't looked at with you for a while in this context, and it is to answer some of the questions that have come up through the years about why we need to study prophecy. I think you need to understand this. The New Testament is not ambivalent about studying prophecy. In the New Testament, you are commanded to study prophecy. It's not optional. You are commanded to study prophecy. You are demanded to know and understand. And one of the reasons why is because of articles like that that tell you the end is coming in 6 days or 7 days. I forget now which it is. 23rd. So come back next week and we'll take a final look at that one before we move on to our next study. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your word. So thankful for just the privilege of being together here, unmolested, safely, gathering in your name to honor your name and to praise you. And I just pray, Lord, and ask you that you, by your grace, would open our hearts and open our minds so that we would grasp these truths and apply them in our lives and be strong in the Word, so that we can be strong in the Lord. May you bless us this week. Should you tarry, bring us back together again so that we might praise you and serve together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.